Dear friends, it's our pleasure to guide you through the exhibit of God Speaks Chinese, Chinese Bible Translation and its relation to Chinese culture and history. 100 years ago, on April 22, 1919, the Chinese Union Bible was published. It's the version we're all very familiar with, and the most popular one. In the past century, this Bible has made a great impact on our churches, even our culture and society as a whole. It's not only about the Bible translation, but also about how missionaries have given their hearts and lives for the Chinese throughout history. Through collaboration for the Chinese Union Bible, we can see what great works God has done in history. Please follow along with me. Page 8. How is the Bible related to human culture and history? How does God reveal His will to mankind? There are interesting questions such as, what languages does God speak? Do we understand His words? Page 16. We know that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek and Aramaic. We can then tell the cultural changes in history. Page 17. The Bible authors were from all walks of life, such as a king, prime minister, prisoner of war, physician, lawyer, poet, scholar, soldier, tax collector, fisherman, farmer, shepherd, worker, etc. They wrote about their personal encounters with God. Page 18. God wants every human being to know His will and understand His words. Therefore, He ensures that His words and actions be written down for all generations. These authors faithfully recorded their experiences in various kinds of literary forms. Page 19. How did the Word of God enter human culture and society? Page 20. We mentioned earlier that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Then, there was strong Greek influence among the Jews, so the Hebrew Bible was translated into Greek. This version was named Septuagint. Page 21. Then, around 500 AD, under the Roman Empire, the main language is Latin. A Latin translation of the Bible came out called Vulgate. For about 1,000 years, the Vulgate retained exclusive status and authority in the church. Page 22 to 23. However, from the 14th century to the 16th century, there was some change in England and Germany. Theologians began to realize that God wanted to speak to everyone, but Latin was no longer the common language. John Wycliffe in England started the work in the 14th century. He strongly believed that everyone should understand the Word of God, so he was the first to translate the Bible into English. In the 16th century, William Tyndale also translated the Bible into English. These two men sacrificed their lives for their work of translation. Wycliffe was declared a heretic by the church after his death, and his remains were dug up, burned, and the ashes were thrown into a river. His ashes are the emblem of his doctrine, which now is dispersed around the world. William Tyndale was executed, and his body was burned at the stake. Page 24 to 27. Martin Luther, a contemporary of Tyndale, also translated the Bible so that Germans would have the Holy Scriptures in their native language. He hoped that everyone could understand the doctrine justification by faith alone. Thanks to the invention of Gutenberg's printing press, his translation could be within reach of the common people. It promoted the religious reformation in Europe. Page 28. In the 17th century, King James I convened with theologians to translate the Bible into English, the King James Version. It has been by far the most printed Bible in history. Page 29. The Counter-Reformation of the Catholic Church was initiated in response to the Protestant Reformation. They began to send missionaries overseas. William Carey was the first Protestant missionary, who was thus called the father of modern missions. Where there was a mission, there was a local Bible. It was the beginning of a new era. Page 32 to 33. Do you know when Christianity was brought into China? You might think it was at the end of the Qing Dynasty, but let me tell you, Even back in the Tang Dynasty, 635 AD, Nestorianism, which is a Christian sect that originated in Asia Minor, was brought to China from Persia. What did the Chinese call Christianity back then? Since they believed God was the light, the religion was known as Jing Jiao, which literally means the luminous religion. The emperor admired the Nestorian missionary Alipin's desire to evangelize despite long travel and dangers. The prime minister escorted him to the palace to meet the emperor upon his arrival at the gate of the royal city Xi'an. Alipin brought 27 books of the Bible to China. The imperial reception and approval helped Christianity to grow in China. The Nestorian monument texts wrote that the doctrine was spread to all 10 provinces in the nation and churches were built in hundreds of cities. Christianity flourished in China for 200 years, but when Emperor Wuzong of Tang persecuted Buddhism, Christianity was also banned. Page 36. Due to the localization of Christianity, when it was first introduced to China, the distinction between Christianity and Buddhism was vague. For example, the picture of Jesus shown on here looks very much like a Buddha. Because the introduction of Christianity to the Chinese was through intellectuals who were either high rank, government officials, or monks, Bible translation was done mostly by monks. The translation of biblical names sounded like Buddhistic names, such as Allah or Jehovah. Page 37. Here are some Nestorian books that can be found today. For example, God is One claims that God is one person. Page 34. The theme of the book, Sutra of Hearing the Messiah, is salvation. An example from the text, God made the wind, which is the Holy Spirit, enters the body of the Virgin Mary. The name Jesus was translated as Yishu, is the same expression as moving mouse. It sounds very disrespectful from the modern point of view and manifests some problems caused by the localization of Christianity. Page 42-43. Because of the banning of Buddhism in the late Tang Dynasty, Christianity was also affected. It was forced out of central China, but it flourished among the tribe of Semu in the northwest. Catholic missionaries also visited the Mongolian tribes. Catholicism and Nestorianism were then combined into one religion in Yuan Dynasty, called Arkaun or Arkagun, derived from Arabic, which means he who is blessed. Page 46. So far, we can see the problems with evangelism in ancient China. It was only popular among high-ranking government officials. Its rise and fall totally depended on the emperor's policy. In the Ming Dynasty, the missionary work was reignited. Francis Xavier from the Society of Jesus came to India, Japan, and China. But before he could enter mainland China, he died on the Shangchun Island, Canton. Page 47-52. While Catholic missionary Alessandro Valignano was waiting in Macau to enter China, he heaved a bitter sigh at the boundary stone. O rock, rock, when wilt thou open rock? God heard his cry and opened the door. Later, Matteo Ricci was able to enter China. He thought that missionaries should behave like locals, so he originally dressed like a Buddhist. He later changed to dress like a Confucian scholar, as we can see in the photo on page 47. He and other missionaries translated a lot of books on science and Catholic doctrines, shown on pages 48-51. Page 52. An important missionary, Jean Basset, translated four Gospels, the Book of Acts, and the Book of Hebrew into Chinese. Unfortunately, they were not printed, but were purchased by the president of the Royal Society of London, then given to the British Museum. They made a strong impact on a future missionary named Robert Morrison. Throughout history, the Western missionaries in China emphasized the localization of Christianity, but faced a cultural challenge, i.e., ancestor worship. In the beginning, Christianity was popular only among scholars, to whom ancestor worship was only a token of respect for ancestors. But in the Qing Dynasty, Missionaries of the Dominican Order evangelized the commoners and illiterate, to whom ancestor worship was worship of gods and spirits. There arose a big controversy. The Pope issued a decree to prohibit Chinese believers from ancestor worship. The Emperor Kangxi in the Qing Dynasty was angered by it, and thus banned Christianity in China once again. Page 55 to 58. It was in 1807 that Christianity came to China for the fourth time, and the first for Protestants. In the British Museum, Robert Morrison copied the Chinese Bible translated by Jean Bassett with the help of Yong Sam Tak. When he came to China, his first task was Bible translation. But after a long and rough journey, he was unable to enter China. He could only work as a translator in the East India Company, even though he strongly opposed their opium business. While working there, he was also translating the Bible on his own. It was finally completed in 1819, exactly 200 years ago. It was printed in 1823 and was a major milestone in the history of Chinese Bible translation. Page 59. At the same time, Joshua Marshman was also translating the Bible into Chinese in India, but Morrison's version was generally considered the first Protestant Chinese Bible. Even by the time of Morrison's death in 1834, the door to China was still not opened. After the First Opium War in 1842, the Qing Dynasty was forced to sign the Treaty of Nanking and open 5 treaty ports to foreign merchants. After the Second Opium War, the door to China became wide open and missionaries were able to enter. Page 63. Missionaries wanted the Bible available to the Chinese in their language, so a group of 4 people, W.H. Medhurst, K. Gutzlaff, E.C. Bridgman, and J.R. Morrison, who was son of Robert Morrison, worked together to translate the Bible. Page 65 to 67. Missionaries felt a need to have Bible translation unified, so they formed a committee of delegates to do the translation. However, since the delegates were of various denominations, such as Presbyterian, Baptist, etc., and had different doctrines, it was not easy to agree on a translation. For example, God and baptism could be translated into different Chinese words. Which ones should be used? Since they could not get a consensus, some left the committee and started their own translation effort. Therefore, there were Goddard and Bridgman versions. However, the delegates still finally published their version, and it was the most popular one before the Chinese Union Bible was published. Page 69. The early missionaries only read classical Chinese literature, so naturally they translated the Bible into classical Chinese. But as they approached the general public more, they felt the need to use a simpler style. Then some missionaries started to translate the Bible in easy Wenli literary style, though others still used high Wenli classical. Later on, some saw the bigger need to translate the Bible in colloquial Mandarin style for the illiterate. That's how the Mandarin Chinese Union Bible was started. Page 72. In 1890, the General Conference of the Protestant Missionaries of China was held in Shanghai. The principle of one Bible in 3 versions was established. 3 versions of the Chinese Bible were planned, 2 classical Chinese versions and a vernacular Mandarin Chinese version to reach all kinds of people. Page 76. The vernacular version was considered the least desirable because how could the divine word of God be expressed in an informal, ordinary style? However, God did an amazing thing. With the missionaries' efforts to help the general public read, the Chinese education system was changed. The imperial examination system of more than 1,000 years old was finally abolished. Missionaries began to build schools and colleges. Vernacular Chinese became more popular and became the main literary style. Page 77. On April 22, 1919, after 30 years of hard work, the first edition of the completed Mandarin Union Version Bible was received from the printer. It was a big milestone. Quite a few major events occurred that year as well, such as the May 4th Movement, or New Culture Movement, an anti-imperialist cultural and political movement. Page 78. The Chinese Union Bible was considered by the New Culture Movement advocates the best translation of Western literary works. Many famous writers had read it and adopted some beautiful biblical expressions into their works. Page 79. The famous scholar Hu Xi, the pioneer of the New Culture Movement, was almost converted to Christianity while studying in the U.S., but later continued to be an atheist. He even quoted, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few," in his speech at the 1931 commencement ceremony of Peking Union Medical College. He encouraged the graduates to serve the public as the hard workers for harvests. He was most interested in the translation missionaries did for ethnic groups. He even collected some Chinese dialect versions of the Bible and donated them to the National Peking Library for research on dialects. Page 80 to 81. Here are some examples of graphic adaptations of the Chinese Union Bible to help the general public read easily. Page 82. In 1922, the anti-Christianity movement started. Foreign influence, including Christianity, was rejected by the Chinese, but some prominent Chinese Christian leaders rose up, such as Zhang Song, Wang Mingdao, and Watchman Nee. Page 84 to 87. As more archaeological findings emerge and more advanced studies of God's Word are made, the revision of the Chinese Bible translation becomes essential to align with the original text. The modernization of the Chinese language never stops. So, the Chinese Bible needs to be revised constantly with the modern usage of the language. There can never be a best translation, but a better one. Many different versions, concise, commentary, and others have been published. We are blessed to have all these different versions for reference. Page 88. Many missionaries spent their whole lives among the Chinese minority ethnic groups translating the Bible into their dialects, such as Amoy, Mongolian, Tibetan, Cantonese, Manchu, Lisu, Miao, and many more. Page 94 to 99. Now we will take a look at those missionary translators. Their Chinese assistants initially helped them, but later could produce valuable translations on their own. We encourage you to come to the exhibition site to see these posters in person. There are Robert Morrison, the first Protestant missionary, Joshua Marshman, Walter Medhurst, Michael S. Culbertson, Josiah Goddard. Page 100 to 101. Walter Laurie came to China as a missionary and was killed at a young age. Griffith John is called the father of missions to central China. Page 102. Calvin Matier, the first delegate in the Committee for Chinese Union Bible Translation, said, "I have decided to devote my life to China. I live here, thus shall die here." He was the founder of Qilu University. Page 105. Chauncey Goodrich was the only delegate that went through the translation process from beginning to end. Page 106. Samuel Skaraskuski suffered a stroke and became paralyzed, but still used two fingers to translate the Bible. He co-founded St. John's University in Shanghai. Page 107 to 108. Absalom Siddenstricker was Pearl Buck's father. Samuel Pollard was a Bible translator for the Miao ethnic group. Page 110. Want Tao is one of the prominent Chinese Bible translators, and some others are listed on the posters. Still, there are many others whose names are not known, but God knows them all. Anecdotes on Chinese Bible translation. Page 116. Wang Yende, co-translator for Calvin Wilson Matier, recall the scenes of the delegates' translation teamwork. Every summer, we gathered with our own translated scripts and tried to get consensus, sometimes harmoniously, sometimes with heated arguments. Sometimes people got so angry that they pounded on the table and left, but later they would come back, work together, and leave with a smile. Page 117 to 118. Big help also came from the missionaries' wives in major Bible societies. Page 120 to 122. Some famous Chinese writers' literary styles were greatly influenced by the Chinese Union Bible. How blessed we are today that we have the Chinese Union Bible available to everyone. When we read it, we should remember all those missionaries' work and sacrifice. We should be reminded of how God has been working on the Chinese Bible throughout history so we can taste the abundance of His Word.